Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Ultra Confusion Thursday Night Hangout.
Hello! How's it going?
I was almost afraid that Zelius was not with us.
Well, okay, here's the problem.
Yes.
Is, like, I don't have a way to see you live, and it really messes with my head. But, of course, if I used the Twitch output, I would always be, like, a 10-second delay after you to talk. So it's like there's not a good way. So, like, I saw your mouth continuing to talk, but I didn't see anything coming out of my headphones. I was very confused for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, there was massive confusion, but the massive amount of confusion, because I'm always confused because that's what happens on my altering. I'm good to go now.
Sweet. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this, of course, is the Thursday Night Hangout. This is a show for you, by you, where you, ladies and gentlemen, give us the topics that you would like to discuss. And, of course, at any time during the show, if you want to add some extra flavor to the chat with your opinion or perhaps another topic or whatever, please go ahead and drop it in the chat. And of course, everyone is confused. We are trying to alter your gaming confusion. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's start off by the introductions, which I constantly forget. And that, of course, is I am your host, Charlie, and I'm joined once again by Zelius, who apparently decided he wanted to go into the bottom corner of his window. But
just trying to mess with you.
All right, well, that's Zelius, that guy over there. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen.
This guy right here. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's just jump right into it, shall we? I don't remember. Did I fully admit that I bowed down to the masters that was GoDaddy?
Yes, you eventually did give in because you didn't really have a choice, basically.
Yeah, so I do have the GoDaddy email thingy madoodle, and I should be I should be good to go now.
Very nice.
As much as I
so
hate
all
that.
Is not lost in the world of Ultra Confusion and the digital content from years gone by.
God, I hope not.
Nice.
The migration was successful. I haven't actually logged into it yet because I don't have the time. Because I've tried to do.
But you should be good for, in theory, the foreseeable future now. Correct.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So anyways, ladies and gentlemen, let's go with the first thing, and that is a personal thanks to twitch.tv/AlterConfusion. It turns out that when we were recording last week, if you remember, the stream dropped at some random point, and apparently it corrupted the video file.
No!
On my computer. So without the fact that Twitch was basically stores recording, I think, for like 10 days after, we wouldn't have been able to publish last week's show, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to check out the video of the Thursday Night Hangout every single Thursday, every single time we post, it's going to be on youtube.com/AlterConfusionLLC. And of course, if you're looking for the more audio only friendly flavor, you of course can go to iTunes podcast store and type in Alter Confusion, or you just go to Podbean and just go to Alter Confusion.
Which one of those is your favorite version of seeing the show, sir?
Well, seeing that they're both audio, I'm not seeing anything. But I have to say that Podbean, probably because I don't have to be on my mobile device. And also, there's a Podbean player that's connected, hooked in right into the Alter Confusion website. All you got to do is go to alterconfusion.com, and then click on the podcast tab, and it's the news one.
The old school way of just going to a website. That's crazy talk, sir.
Or you could do it like the cool kids do, and that, of course, go to Google and type in Alter Confusion.
Whoa, dude. That's a little bit extreme.
I know. All right, so with that being said, let's get right into the first topic. As we continue to see ourselves quarantined for the foreseeable future, and it's only going to get worse, more states are going to be quarantined. There, of course, have been a shit ton of titles and lists of things to help people get by. Last week, of course, we talked about the very long RPGs that you should check out because now you have the time. And this week, on the Nerdist.com, they have They wrote a list of 6 relaxing video games to ease your stress. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. Full disclosure, before I read this list, I find one of these games eases my stress. The rest of them makes me stress the fuck out. So
I have not played that game.
Stress the fuck out? Or
no.
The one I'm about to talk about?
Yes, that's the one I have not
played. Okay, so anyways, the Nerdist has decided that the list of 6 is Stardew Valley, which is, let's see here.
A job simulator.
Yes. Islander, which is actually phenomenal. It's like a puzzle game. It's got a very zen soundtrack to it, so it's very calming, it's very soothing, and basically you're on an island and you're trying to gain points by placing buildings and other things in certain places. If you put pieces close to like pieces, you get more points. If you put it towards ones that they're not supposed to be close to, you get negative points, that kind of thing. It's really easy. You don't feel bad when you lose because you're just like, oh, well, that was a good run. I'm going to do it again. You jump right back in. So that's the one out of the 6 that I agree with the Nerdist. The second one is Animal Crossing's New Horizons. Now, I know everyone's going goo-goo batshit crazy over this game, and I still can't figure out what the appeal is. So basically, I'm going to play a shit ton of hours to simulate the world and everyday life of a character.
Isn't that every video game ever made?
Isn't that
just
like
simulating
real life?
You're just simulating something that's going on. It's like The Sims, right?
Yeah,
aren't you just
basically
reenacting life?
Yeah, just
in
with
Sims?
Cuter looking characters, I guess. I don't know.
I guess, yeah. I mean, obviously, it has a huge cult following. I mean, it's not cult. It obviously has a huge following, and I know people are going crazy over it on the Switch right now.
The sheer amount of freaking pictures that I've seen on social media across the board for that game is nuts.
It's pretty crazy.
Now, the next game... Okay, the next game is Roller Coaster Tycoon, and... See, that's kind of borderline for me. The reason why I would be slightly stressed out is because you are trying to run a successful theme park.
See, the way I look at it, like, you can lose in Roller Coaster Tycoon. Like, you can run out of money. So that's what, like, you can't just go crazy and build, like, your crazy idiot loop ninja type of, you know, roller coaster straight off the bat. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to get that money. You have to manage resources. You have to keep your people happy. So it's not, I don't think I consider it a stressful game, but I don't know if I'd also consider it like a chill, zen, relaxing game either.
Yeah. Now here's the last one. No, sorry. It's not the last one, but here's the next one. And this one is mind boggling to me. It's Forza Horizon 4.
Of all the games on the list.
Okay, so it says the latest installment of Forza racing franchise offers the most relaxing experience of any racing game. Not racing. As with the previous 3 Horizon games, Forza Horizon 4 features an expansive open world where players can race to be the fastest and most furious driver. Or you could tour your Mini Cooper around a quaint manner at a reasonable speed. Okay, so it's a racing game, but it's not a racing game. But the main focus is racing, unless you want to just drive at a reasonable speed.
So saying it's a relaxing racing game, but not a relaxing racing game.
See, it'd be like going into World of Warcraft only to play Bejeweled. You know, it's... No, I don't think so. And then the last one is House Flipper, which I've seen way too many HGTV home renovation shows, and just thinking about it, like, stresses the fuck out of me because I know, like, the shows are, you know, all about the bad things that have happened. So when I can't associate flipping a house as something fun and exciting and less stressful.
Yeah, that game just doesn't sound interesting to me at all. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't say those all sound kind of stressful to me.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, let's be honest. Basically, everything out there has a shit ton of time. So, Kitayami said the house flipper that they played was actually really straightforward and easy. I think it's because the game might be straightforward and easy, but for me, all I could think of is the horror stories I've seen on HGTV about people who got in over their heads flipping their house. Kitayami says, you were given a house where basically you had to clean it up and follow this checklist, which had no time limit. But you have to clean. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, the thing is, I'm looking at it from an outside perspective. I've never played the game, and to be honest with you, I'm probably not going to play the game. It's not really my cup of tea. But, yeah. You know. But going back to, everyone's got so much freaking time right now, so I'm not surprised by the sheer volume of, like, list of games to play or movies to watch or whatever there is out there. I mean, shit, the NBA currently has a player-only NBA 2K League tournament happening right now. You have I think it's ESPN who's literally replaying key March Madness games from the past. I mean, some of them go back like to the 90s.
So I like to listen, like, in the past, like, my kind of 5 o'clock eating tradition was always watching Pardon the Interruption. And I know it has its warts sometimes, but at least both Wilbon and Mike, they're usually fairly level-headed, right? I know they can go off the rails, but for the most part, they're pretty reasonable. I recently tried watching First Take, and no. I pretty much want to punch my screen after about 2 minutes, particularly of, what's the black guy's name?
Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith. He's just, like, off the rails, like a troll, basically.
Well, here,
and it's just nonstop trolling. I'm like, I just can't take this.
So here's the deal. The unfortunate thing is the vast majority of people who come to, like, prominence basically had that one moment or that one thing. Like Stephen A. Smith, what he does is he screams and yells like a madman, and people are like, oh, he knows stuff.
Pretty much.
The gentleman Feinbaum from the SEC Network, the only reason why that fucker is on TV is because the wonderful University of Alabama fan who poisoned the trees at Auburn called his show. And so, ta-da.
All right. So if you want to actually relax in game,
yep.
Eternal Sinia.
Eternal Sinia?
It's a free-to-play game. It's basically a dungeon crawler, but, like, it's pretty much impossible to lose. I mean, you have some, like, leveling up and stuff, but it's it's meant to be a basically very easily beatable RPG.
Okay, and you can find it on Steam.
It's on, yes, it's Eternal Sinia. I played it a couple of years ago.
I'm going to drop it in the chat.
Yeah, so that's actually good. Like, you basically can't lose it. I mean, I'm sure you could. But I remember that was just kind of relaxing. You just can't screw it up. I've tried to find another game. So I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago, Blaine had me review a music video game. Because it had some bands from my...
what's the name?
From my power metal bands mm-hmm. that I like. Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember playing in Steam and looking through my Steam list. It's really bothering me because I can't find it because same thing, like, it was a very relaxing Zen game. It was all about the music. Mm-hmm. It was more of a puzzle type of game. And it was just very chill. It was a really cool game. But I just can't find it now. It's really bothering me.
Sorry, yo.
Ugh. But that was another, like, again, it's like the list, though. It's like they choose, like, popular games. So instead of like, okay, what are really popular games people have heard of, instead of actually deciding, what are games, even if people haven't heard of them, that are kind of relaxing? And that's kind of how it feels to me, is they just picked games that they know people would have heard of, instead of actually choosing games that fit the description.
No, okay, so the thing is, I think everyone's entitled to their own opinion. People are going to find different games relaxing, but I feel like the Nerdist is making lists of random shit for content's sake. It's like, well, we have nothing to report because all the development studios are delaying their games. There's no big conventions happening or conferences. So let's do the top 10, you know, games where a man gets kicked in the head by a horse. I don't think, well, probably, shit, you know, there's probably people out there like that as well. Karma Flow.
I found it. Yep. It's Karma Flow Rock, the rock opera game.
Yeah, man.
So you even look at the name of the game and it's a rock opera. So that's a very kind of zen, relaxing game that I would recommend too. It's a fun one.
Or you could just, you know, download that free Koi Pond app on your phone and just watch the fish just bounce back and forth across your iPad. That would pour the shit out of me. I'm just gonna be honest with you, I wouldn't be able to think.
And of course, on my list is Global Agenda. Last played 2013.
Woo! Global Agenda.
Like, can you even still play it?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure. I'm gonna be totally honest with you. I do not know. Yeah.
Mm.
But that being said, sir, there is a. Oh my gosh! I just blanked again. Oh, so Zelius, for better or for worse, made me aware of something that that just came out recently on Steam, and that, of course, is a certain patch or modification to a game that Zelius and I have been raving about for a bajillion years. And so for a measly, I think it's like, it's under $10. You could buy the game with the patch and play the game. I have not had a chance to play the game yet, but the game in question is called Masters of Magic.
Yes.
So this was like, Civilization, but in fantasy land. And I loved the shit out of it. Now, that being said, I have read some of the notes from the guy who basically took it upon himself to reverse engineer the game and then try to like tweak and work things, because apparently nobody in the year 2020 has any idea where the actual original source code is. It just Microprose apparently when they closed, they I guess buried the code or something. Anyways, this guy,
it's in a time capsule.
This guy has done an amazing job, and he did a lot of rebalancing. So
oh yeah, big time.
So if you're expecting the same game experience, and I think that's why I haven't played it yet, because I've got these fond memories. It's one of those like nostalgia things where, you know, you remember so much awesomeness about a game that you played way back when, and then when you play it again, you're like, but the thing is, this isn't really going to be the same game, because apparently the modifications, the tweaks he made is, well, of course, they're global, and there's a, and he's, I mean, he's had a shit ton of time to make these tweaks really stick.
I mean, it's new spells, new characters, new, like, races, rebalancing them, because there are some, like, stupidly overpowered strategies they couldn't lose with. It was just a whole lot of tweaking of...
Yeah, if you selected the right spell books order.
Yeah. So it's really, I mean, I think it's a pretty cool labor of love that this guy's done. I mean, it's not like he's going to be making a whole lot of money off of this. So I think it's pretty neat. It's kind of funny that, you know, we've been asking about the Master of Magic successor for eons. There have been a couple of spiritual successors. And all of a sudden, it's like, wham, here comes this game.
Yep.
That's like really a true successor, basically. So it's pretty cool, though, that, you know, somebody spent this much time on it and really, like you said, they reverse engineered it to be able to do the changes.
Well, I think that the cooler thing, and this is, you know, for all of those people out there who are always dying to work or try to help a game that has, you know, had such an impact on your life, is this guy, not only did he do all this work, but his shit is now officially recognized as part of the game. I mean, that's,
which is
that's,
very rare.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's like a, that's literally a one in a million type of thing. That does not happen. Most of the companies out there are like, shut it down.
I kind of wonder how like this one got like, you know, past the, you know, the lawyers and whatnot, and how that kind of got to happen.
Well, I think part of it is, who the hell owns the rights?
Who? It's one of those things.
The other thing is, can you?
Do you? No. Do you? No.
You don't have the source code, so like, you know, it makes it a little bit more complicated to actually say, look, we have the original source code. This, and we also have the license for blah 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 blah. No one has the source code.
But it almost seems like now they're really at a point where almost taking this guy's upgrade basically is basically remaster it.
Yep.
You know, we're not saying create like Master Magic 3 or anything like that. We're saying basically take the same elements, don't go changing everything and half bake it, and don't be like Lords of the Realm and make it terrible. Like, actually take this game and basically spruce up the graphics and all that, and like the quality of life and all that stuff, to basically pull it at least into this century.
Yep. Yep.
Like, that would be cool.
That would be.
I mean, think about it. You have magic and elements and spells. You can do a lot of cool things to be able to pull it into this generation of like video games and graphics. Mm-hmm. I think that would be, people would definitely eat that up if they went that route.
And I mean, of course, there's nothing there. The feeling of accomplishment of not only, you know, getting your stuff recognized, but also making money off of that, because he's getting some of the money for, you know, people purchasing that modification, because they ain't free.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's,
I mean, I didn't even know Master Magic was on Steam in the first place.
I didn't either. I had no idea until you sent the article. I had no idea, but as soon as you sent that article and I read it, I'm like, fuck, my wallet's just about to get lighter. I'm like, I'm not supposed to be buying things, but it is under $10, which is the number one gotcha for basically any in-app purchase or any mobile game, because you're like, oh, it's only $5.99. I could do that, or it's only $1.99, and then you do it 37 times, and the next thing you know, it's $74. I'd like just to point out that that's pretty impressive that I was able to do that math that fast in my head. Thank you very much. High five. Okay.
Way to go, sir.
Yes. Okay. So,
quick, in case you're actually curious, Global Agenda is officially dead.
I know. Okay, fine. Well, they've moved on to Global Agenda 2 then.
Well, it's the case where it is an online only game.
Right.
Which, around 2018, Hi-Rez closed down the servers. Yep. So I know it's the thing you always lampoon on is, I mean, there was definitely ways you could have played Global Agenda as a single-player game if you really wanted to. But anybody who wanted to play even Global Agenda as a single-player game, tough cookies. No luck for you.
Right.
So, yeah, it's dead. Sadly, it's official.
Okay. You just remind me of something, and that was, ladies and gentlemen, as you may or may not have already figured out, Zelius and I have been gaming for a very extended amount of time. And because we're locked in our houses, basically.
Oh, my.
I decided to take it upon myself to basically catalog the video games I have. And it was a daunting task. And I know that I'm missing quite a few games, because I can already, because when I looked at the list, I'm like, wait, where's this game? Where's this game? Where's this game? And that, of course, is currently I have 402 games. And I know I've got more than that. And that expands from the NES, Super Nintendo, GameCube, Wii, DS, Game Boy, GBA, the PSP, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, Xbox, Xbox 360, Xbox One. I'm missing something, but whatever. So I have a shit ton of games. Oh, duh, the Switch.
Ah, yes.
So I've got a shit ton of games, and I look through it, and I have to say that, like I've said in the past, you know, with online capabilities, that game's only going to last so long before the developer or the publisher shut down the servers. And so it's interesting to see all the games that I've collected that the main focus was the online presence. And so now I wouldn't be able to do anything. You know, there's still a lot of games out there, especially the sports games, which, by the way, Zelius, if you want all of my NHL hockey games, I can give them to you.
Oh, thanks.
but seriously, it's very interesting to have those hard copies, because now, of course, we're going to digital distribution. It's all, you know, it's basically Steam library. You download it. Sometimes you forget about it. Sometimes you're like, oh shit, that's right, I have this game, and then you get to play it. Whereas, you know, having 402 games, it filled up three entire Tupperware containers, like big storage containers.
And so where do your games reside right now? Are they just going to stay there? Or what is your plan for all the games?
So currently, the video games are all in the they're all in the Tupperware container in my my downstairs basement closet, which I cleaned out. I've been basically, because I've been locked in here, I've been cleaning a shit ton.
Nice.
You may notice that I am in a slightly different position than I have been in current and previous episodes. That's because the black table has been put up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if I'm not coming over, you don't need the black table.
Well, I mean, I still had like all my work stuff set up there, and that's been moved over to my desk. I've rearranged like a shit ton of stuff. So anyways, what was I saying? Oh yeah. So currently, what am I going to do with the games? I would love to say I'm going to keep them all because they're priceless. But the fact of the matter is I've already started kind of like narrowing down the number of games that actually I give a shit about. And other ones, I'm like, oh, I bought it because everyone said it was cool. Or,
like, I have a bunch of DVDs and old console games. Let's be realistic. I'm probably never going to actually watch those DVDs. Well, most of them. Nor am I going to play the old video games. So it's kind of like, you know, I have three large printer boxes full of those. Why?
Well, here's the funny thing. My wife and I have decided that on Mondays and Wednesdays, since I'm not streaming, that we'll watch movies. And to kind of broaden the selection, we've actually gone back into my DVD collection, which is over 400.
Oh, the anime collection?
No, not the anime collection. The regular DVD collection, which is also over 400 DVDs. No,
very healthy.
No, it's just under 400. The anime is just over 400. I get them confused. But anyways,
I do that all the time.
But anyways, yeah. So it's ironic that we're actually going back to watching the DVDs because we don't have all the Blu-rays. And to be honest with you, this is what I've been talking about for fucking ever. And that is, everyone's like, well, I don't need to buy Blu-rays and DVDs because I could just stream it. Well, guess what? Not all the stuff that you want to watch is available for streaming. It isn't. Well, all my favorite movies and TV shows. Depends on what your favorite movie or TV show is.
They just don't exist to me if they're not online. It's as simple as that.
Oh,
it's not real. It's fake. It's a it's fake news.
Don't say that.
You're fake.
But speaking of streaming services, ladies and gentlemen, have you heard that Netflix just recently came out? Well, actually, Netflix and Ryan Reynolds, an amazing actor who can't do no wrong right now, came out and said that they are currently working on a joint project to do a Dragon's Lair movie.
Ooh.
Now, of course, for everyone out there who's probably, oh God, when did the first Dragon Slayer come out? I'm going to look it up. Dragon's Lair. Because it's 83. 1983. So, holy crap. We were one. But that being said, they're going to make a Dragon's Lair movie. It's going to have Ryan Reynolds. It's a very, you know, sarcastic type of game. So here's the deal. You cast Ryan Reynolds in a role where the character is meant to be sarcastic. It's fucking gold.
Well, once they like own that instead of some of the other terrible movies he was in, it just worked.
But the thing is, he was able to make fun of that terrible movie.
Well, I don't think that really made a difference, but yeah.
No, I mean, like, let's be honest here. He wanted to do Deadpool, and they started doing Deadpool, and no one wanted to release it, so he accidentally leaked the footage. And then, of course, in Deadpool, they're doing it like a special treatment for him, and they're like, please, just make sure that the costume isn't green, which, of course, slams Green Lantern, which was a terrible movie. However, he did meet his wife on there. So I guess that's the redeeming factor.
So it wasn't all of a loss. So power did come out of the movie, though.
Well, for him, it wasn't a loss. For everyone else, it was.
Well, I guess maybe she won, too, though.
True. True. So I wish I knew... Like, I wish this would happen now. But, of course, that's not going to happen anytime soon. Because of, you know, everyone basically stopping things.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a lot of TV shows are going to be... seasons delayed. It's almost like the writer's strike in a way. We're going to see a lot of truncated seasons, some shows potentially canceled or not started that may have otherwise been able to continue. Like Resident Evil is supposed to start filming,
yep,
and it's not filming for the television show because of that. So it's going to definitely affect, but they're also taking the smart move and canceling it. Instead of trying to push it and everybody all get together and, you know, not do the social distancing, they're being smart about it and saying, all right, we can't all have all these people together, so we can't do
things. Well, actually, if you bring people together at this point, you get arrested. So I don't think Hollywood's
unless you're in Florida. You just gotta go to Florida.
Or Texas, if it's a spiritual gathering.
We gather here for our spiritual movie.
COVID-19
it means
knows
so much to me.
They know that religious gatherings are off limits. Okay, now that I've kind of
it's the line of salt around the your sanctuary.
Right. Speaking of Netflix, though, I tell you what. I'm excited about the Dragon's Lair movie, but also, like, what Netflix has been doing has been pretty damn awesome. Like, when they decide to produce something, it's high quality. So I'm excited about that. And of course, I unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I finally fell into the trap. There was peer pressure, and I finally broke down and watched Tiger King, the documentary on Netflix. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. I watched the first episode, and like halfway through, I'm going, okay, this is bullshit. I'll just, you know, I'll watch this and just say, hey, I tried, and it ain't going to work for me. I blinked. I was through all 7 episodes. And holy shitballs. What a fucked up world.
Is that the whole point?
Yeah. Yes and no. I would like to find the director of that documentary and shake his hand for being just vague enough to not tell everyone exactly what the freaking thing was about, because you got all these people who are highlighting it going, well, I didn't know that was what this was about. So yeah, it was, oh man, it was something else.
We'll see. I have other things on my list.
So do I.
Always on my list.
I wasn't even on my radar.
And then you just had to follow the herd mentality of everyone else.
Well, basically, my little sister goes, you have to watch it now because I need someone to talk to. I'm like, fine.
You be her husband when have watched it?
Oh, I think he has watched it, but he was on... but I think she needed a different person than someone she's seeing every day to see if, you know... I also might be giving her an honest opinion, you know.
Yes, this show is crazy. You are not losing it.
Exactly.
You don't think it's crazy? We got problems.
True. True. Now, I do have an update about something, and I'm a little bit sad about it. Well, actually, I'm a hell of a lot sad about it. Ladies and gentlemen, friend of the show by the name of Vincent Baker, is the creator of a company called Vindicated Entertainment. He's created quite a few different games out there, but the big one is... oh my God, I can't spell. Vindicated Entertainment. I thought I had this website pulled up, but apparently I do not. Okay, so they have... Basically, it's their big one is Other Worlds, which is their pencil paper RPG, and then... The secondary one is Spellslingers.
Yep.
Now, if you remember back in, I think, early last year, there was a community gathering of support to try to help fund a defense to a lawsuit that was levied against Vindicated Entertainment, that dealing with the owners of Magic the Gathering, which is now Hasbro, and Vincent.
I do remember that.
The lawsuit stated that he's not allowed to use, he had to basically cease and desist utilizing or using the word Spellslinger because they owned it. And of course, Spellslingers is the new, or was one of the new Magic the Gathering like spinoffs or something. So they went to court. They closed. The lawsuit was done, I think, like 12 days ago. The end result is Hasbro won. Let me get a little bit more into in depth here for y'all, and that is going forward. Vincent had to give up the right to all of the social media handles and usernames. What? So he can't have Spellslinger for anything.
Damn.
Now that being said, he can still promote the world for right now. He can still promote the word Spellslinger on his website. And he can distribute physical copies, so he could go to conventions, and the physical copies he has, he could still sell. It's not like he's not allowed to sell boxes that have Spellslinger on it. Now the name that, if you were to go onto Facebook, the name that's now present is something called Wits and Wizardry. That's the fallback. And I asked him, I said, when you make new editions of the game, are you still going to be able to put the name Spellslinger on there, or are you going to have to default with Wits and Wizardry?
Yep.
And basically, he stated, based on the contract and from what they said, he has a choice. Though, of course, you know, they could always take it away from him, but he plans on advertising it mainly through his website and still calling the releases Spellslinger until they say don't.
Hmm.
Which, you know, it's kind of sad. I actually looked at the filings and the motions through the lawsuit today, because the Facebook page was actually changed names today. So I reached out to Vincent, and then of course, when I tried to read all that legal gobbledygook, I was like, I have no idea what the hell this shit says, and so I called an individual who. I don't know if he actually still registered for the state of Georgia, but this gentleman has a lot of law knowledge in his past, and I had him kind of help me like parse through the stuff. Basically, in a tactic that we knew was going to happen, what Hasbro kept doing was they kept motioning for extension, and so they basically motioned for an extension for almost an entire year. Mm-hmm. And of course, the longer a lawsuit goes, the more expensive it gets. So I think at a time they knew they were going to basically be able to wait him out, but also because of the fact that he really didn't lock down that name, he used it about, I think, like 30 seconds before Wizards of the Coast did. But however, Wizards of the Coast would have, you know, immediately trademarked and all that stuff. He was kind of, you know, he was shit out of luck at the end. So, you know, I hope that he gets to continue his success, even if the name of the game has to change. It is a fun card game, and it's easy to pick up. So I highly recommend, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there and you want a cool, fun, easy to play card game that was Spellslingers and now is Wits and Wizardry. I'm going to drop the link in the chat. But for those out there who can't, who cannot see this because you're listening to the audio version, just go to VindicatedEntertainment.com and or just Google spell slingers. I think that's
which is confusing because you're gonna see like, because I look at the Facebook now, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I'm playing Wit and Wizardry, but it's spell slingers. I'm so confused.
Yeah, they still have spell slingers like all over the place.
Yeah, it's
and that's gonna change slowly but surely. The first step was today.
I do like the name spell slinger. It just kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yes, it does. But at the end of the day, you know, he's getting to continue to do his card game.
Yeah.
Even though it has to be under a different name. So it's not like, I mean, the only thing in common was the fact that it was spell slingers. I mean, it is, Magic the Gathering, of course, is a game where you try to collect resources, you play resources, then you play, you know, your cards, and spell slingers sort of like that, but it is a different type of like spell system and whatnot. And also,
well, that's confusing though, mm-hmm. because then you go to the website yep. and it's still called spell slinger. So if you're looking at Wit and Wizardry, you're like, it's Wit and Wizardry.
Yep.
Then you go to the website, that's going to be a little bit of a kerfluffle.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to, there's got to be some kind of like streamlining, and it's going to be painful since he's been basically messing around with this for, oh God, I don't even know.
Long time.
I wonder if I still could find his Kickstarter for this. Because that's about as long as I was in it. And I can't remember what convention I was at that I met him and interviewed him. Actually, it'd probably been easier if I just gone to YouTube and looked for the interview. But because I'm crazy like that, I'm going to go to... it was funded on April 7th, 2017. So almost 3 years ago. So that's 3 years where the product name was that, and now you're going to have to...
Well, here's the tagline.
Yeah.
So the tagline is Spell Slingers, yep. the fastest game of Wit and Wizardry.
And there's where you put the Wit and Wizardry.
Okay. So at least there's some connection between them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Still sad, though, you know?
Yeah. It's basically a case of you got the money, so you can outweigh me, basically.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And you know, this is what the big boys get to do to the little people all the time when it comes to if they want something, they'll just sue you until you can't do no more. That's mm-hmm. why you got all these ridiculous lawsuits out there for... sometimes the company is stupid and they go after the wrong people, but other times, you know, if you have the game, let's say, I'm trying to think of a game here. Let's go. Okay, so name a popular game.
Heroes of Might and Magic.
All right, Heroes of Might and Magic. So let's say that I have a game called
Heroes of Pandora.
No. It'd be like okay. So let's do Minecraft. Now that it's owned by Microsoft, would probably. So Minecraft is a little bit harder because you could basically put like, I don't know, ShoeCraft. And if Microsoft was a total jackass, which in most points they are, but they would be like, oh, you have craft in your title? I'm suing you because I own the rights to it because Minecraft.
What about Craft Saga?
There it is. Okay, so was a Candy Crush Saga. They try to sue everyone who had the word candy, crush, or saga in it, which, of course, they chose the wrong people to go after because they went after the people behind Banner Saga. And basically, when Banner Saga was a huge success. So when you go, hey, you can't have saga in your title, the internet world was like, shut up. And they're like, you know what? You're right. We're going to shut up. But the unfortunate thing is that nine out of 10 times, you have these companies that are able to pressure smaller companies simply with basically filing a lawsuit and then keeping it active to drain the smaller person dry.
It's an effective strategy.
Yeah. And literally, thanks to the trademark, I can't remember the damn name of the court, but... you know, you in the beautiful world magnificent land of the United States of America, you could sue for anything.
And everything.
Anything and everything. It's one of those, you know, we are the country where literally, if we're trying to make a quick buck, we will pick something up and read the warning label and see if there's explicitly things you can't do. And if there's something that's not listed, but you decide to do, you could sue them and make money because, well, I didn't say not to do it. At the same time, you've got these people out there, let's say, I'm trying to think of another game with a lot of name, a lot of words in it. Because Candy Crush Saga was a pretty long word, or long name game. Let's go with The Legend of Zelda. Going after,
I was just thinking that one.
Going after
Zelda's
everything that
unique.
Has legend in it. That would be fucking nuts. Oh, it's a video game that has the word legend in it? Well, ours is Legend of Zelda.
Legends of Runeterra?
Okay, Legends of Runeterra. Yeah, Runeterra. Yes. Which, by the way, I did pick it. I downloaded it, and I've played it. I've played through the entire tutorial prologue part.
And, what do you think?
And I won my first battle against an AI opponent.
Nice.
It's interesting. Having not played Hearthstone in such a long time, I can't really compare the two because I can't remember Hearthstone. All I know is that in Hearthstone, I sucked. that's the only lasting memory for me. Right now, Runes of... damn it. Now I'm doing it. Legends of Runeterra.
You're doing what I was doing.
Legends of Runeterra. It's a fun game. I mean, it's interesting. There's definitely a lot of different abilities and elements to kind of spice things up. You've got fast attack, which means that you're going to deal your damage to the defender before the defender actually gets to hit you.
Unless he like has something that disables that.
Right. If you're elusive, you can only get hit by or blocked by another elusive. There are certain cards that cannot block. There are certain cards that when they attack, they cannot be blocked by anything with attack less of 3. There are those who they've got something which I don't remember what the damn the name is, but to me, it's always gonna be trample. It is.
Oh yeah, rampage.
Yeah, something like that. Where you know any damage over the amount that was dealt to the character goes towards your nexus. Then there's also there's slow spells and burst spells and fast spells and.
No, it's a pretty cool game. I was enjoying it.
It is. It's interesting. Now, of course, I've only had 2 days or 2 real play sessions to play it, but I did go through the entire tutorial and then all the additional tutorials, and now I'm like, okay, I play my first AI opponent. It's like, okay, which deck are you going to select? I'm like, I have no effing clue. I was like, I'll choose this one.
I started making a polo deck.
Really?
Yeah. Because synergy.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, you know. But I actually haven't played it in quite a while. But, yeah.
Too much time spent on the Switch. Which, by the way, the game I've been playing a shit ton of on the Switch is a game called War of Gems, which is the next evolution of Puzzle Quest. Which has, holy crap, it's another free-to-play game, which of course has microtransactions out to yin-yang, but I've yet to buy anything with my Munei. However, it's easily one of those games where they give you a bunch of stuff up front so you can really like build up your team, but literally it's just for that team. You can't make like a secondary team and get them back up to that because you're not going to have anything left.
I could see that,
but it's an issue. It's Puzzle Quest. I mean, you're going to be matching, gems of certain colors to then be put into certain characters, and once they hit a certain amount, they'll have the ability to unleash some kind of attack. Some of the attacks are freaking devastating. Other attacks are just like getting tickled by a feather. But I mean, there's,
it is kind of fun though when you like know you're probably going to win, and then like all of a sudden like everything just like comes together.
Yes,
and you're like, yeah, I got this.
Well, my favorite is I always in, well, at least in like Puzzle Quest and War of Gems, is I always put the character, one of my characters who could do like damage to multiple people near the end of my group, so that even if they're knocking through everybody else, I've still got enough time to build up like a specific amount to maybe unleash havoc and knock everybody out when they think that they're about to win. I love doing that. I love pulling a victory out of the jaws of defeat.
Ha, 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 ha. You cannot defeat me.
But yeah, I you know, like I said, I was playing Legend of Runeterra up to starting the show. And there, you know, with any card game anything that has an RPG element to it, it's going to have some level of strategy. And I can easily tell that the level of strategy has got to be insane for those like super duper awesome Legends of Runeterra players.
Which you know you'll get at some point.
Yes. Yes. I would first have to graduate from playing against AI opponents. But I'm not there.
Yeah, I actually haven't played against like real people. I've just played, not going to lie, only against the
AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. What really pissed me off, though, is when you're doing the... First of all, it's highly recommended that you do all... You do, like, I think it's like 3 or 4 tutorials, and then you pop into the game. You could go right against AI opponents immediately, or you could do these additional tutorials, and at the end of each, you get experience points, which then will unlock further, like, cards and stuff for you, which I highly recommend you do. Even though, after you've done all that, you're probably still not going to be ready to build a deck, because you still have no effing clue what kind of balance you're going to need, but...
Yeah, trying to figure out, but that's kind of fun too. It's kind of trying to find the synergy too. It can be a little bit entertaining.
Yes. Yes.
It's a cool game.
Yeah.
I haven't played it in a while, but when I played it, I enjoyed it well enough.
So literally, I played that on the PC, and then of course I've been playing War of Gems on the Switch, as well as Murder by Numbers, because I'm so freaking close to the end. I'm so close. I'm literally like, I think, one or two puzzles away from being that game.
Are you still playing, what's the game you've been playing forever?
The Labyrinth of Refrain?
Yeah.
I might have to throw the towel in. I don't know what else I can do in that game. Because literally, I don't have the ability to grind anymore, okay? I can one-hit every single thing in this dungeon until I get to the boss, and the boss absolutely, like, decimates me every single time. There's nothing else I could do. It's not like, oh, well, I opened up this side quest area. Let me do this. No, this is it. I don't have any side quests. This is the only thing. And I don't know what the hell is going on with the balance between the entire area... And it's multiple levels because it's a tower. I think it's like 8 stories to this tower. I can whoop up on anything from the basement all the way up to the 8th floor, with the exception of the boss sitting in the boss room. And that dude decimates me so freaking fast that I'm probably done in 8 turns. Like 8 complete
just
turns.
Just not working out?
Yeah. Like I don't, there's nothing else I could do. Like, I've got the best armor. I've got the best weapon. I've changed strategies. I've changed up formations.
That stinks.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for a review for that one, as well as a bunch of reviews for a bunch of other games. I did lay out a bunch of, like, I guess, blueprints of games I'm going to review. So be on the lookout for a bunch of those once I actually... Unfortunately, once I actually get around to it,
nice.
You know, the life is crazy, and sometimes it just doesn't like for you to play anything but life.
I started to play Harry Potter Lego on the Switch.
On the Switch, it's all 7 years, right?
Well, it's two games. Okay, the first one is years 1 through 4, and the second one is years 4 through 7.
You mean 5 through 7?
That also, yes. I didn't realize it's basically like a puzzle game almost, more than like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, which is cool, but it's also... I get really frustrated at hard puzzle games. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just not fun to me. Mm-hmm. I like this because there's some challenging parts of the puzzle parts, but they're still pretty straightforward enough where it's really not that hard.
Are the puzzle pieces jumping up and down and have a shiny tint to it? Then it
pretty much,
that's
yeah.
what you're going to
do. I like that. Now, I can do that. Yeah. Like, I know, like, you played the other point-and-click ones where, like, you have to search every little thing, even though it's not obvious. Like, that would just drive me nuts.
Yeah, that was,
like,
that, what was that game called? House of Da Vinci. It was like...
That is not for me.
It's like you have to click on every single fucking thing in this screen because somewhere on this screen, which is almost very, very, very closely invisible, unless you see something from just the right angle, you'll miss the fucking button that you have to push that will reveal a small other doodad on the other wall.
Nope.
That you have to pull that you have to... Yeah, I'm like, no.
No. But that's why I like the... That's why I'm enjoying the game. It's because it's straightforward enough where I can actually like figure out
right.
What's going on.
Well, I ironically, speaking of Lego Harry Potter years 1 through 4 and 5 through 7, I found my copies for the Xbox 360 when I was doing my thing. I also found a copy of Lego Batman the game and Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, which I didn't even know there was a such thing as Legos the Pirate Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, which tells you that I never played that game.
Huh.
Also found out a very ironic that I have multiple copies of sports games across different consoles. Like, why do I have two NBA 2K6s?
Why not?
I don't know. But at the time, I'm like, well, you know, I've got to go to the newer console because that's where everyone's playing. They're no longer playing on the PlayStation 2. They're playing on the Xbox 360 or some crazy shit like that. You know, but anyways, yes. I love the Lego games. They're a lot of fun.
No, they're good. They're fun.
There's some frustrating parts to it depending on what platform you're playing on, sometimes the like mechanics don't exactly match. My biggest issue is trying to play the Lego Harry Potter specifically on just a touchscreen.
Because
that kind of... I don't feel like I have as much control as if I were to have a controller in my hand.
I could see that. That makes sense. I've only really played on my TV. I haven't really actually played it. Like, I don't use the Switch very often in the handheld mode. Mm-hmm. I'm really just playing it on my TV.
Yeah, I'm still more carrying it around than I am on the TV, simply because the dock is downstairs and is connected to the computer that I'm currently streaming from. So,
well, I think that's my advantage. I don't have that because, like, I live by myself. Yep. So it's kind of like I don't have anybody to contend with. Like, I don't have to worry about, you know, who's using the TV or anything like that. So for me, it's really easy.
Well, the other thing is I got to make sure that I don't accidentally leave it around the house and then someone pick it up and it disappears.
Yes, that would be very unfortunate, sir.
Indubitably. I feel like I had something else, another bit of news, but I can't remember. I can't remember what the hell it was now.
So of the consoles, yes, how many consoles did you actually find?
The actual console?
Yes.
The NES, the Super Nintendo, the GameCube, the Wii, which is now in full use with my family. PlayStation 2. I actually have two PlayStation 2s. PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, Xbox One. The one Game Boy Advance. Two DSs, one 3DS, where I know I've got a second 3DS, I just don't know where the fuck it is. A PSP that I can't play because the battery exploded. I actually found an original Game Boy and the Sega Game Gear.
So of all those consoles, like any console you've got, is there one where it's like, wow, this was a total waste of a console? Like, why did I even buy that?
I would say, see, the thing is, like with the Game Gear, I didn't buy it. It was gifted to me. So that one, I would kind of say, I can't really do that. The, you know, looking back on it now, you know, it was the game. It was Game Gear versus Game Boy. Game Gear, of course, was in color, and of course, the Game Boy, whatever. But in all honesty, I think like the one thing that I'm kind of like, would have to be the PSP.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the only reason why I got the PSP was because of some of the exclusive titles, which I don't actually get all that many of in the end, simply because there just wasn't a whole lot of them. And, you know, I don't know, you know, in retrospect, the games that were out for the PSP, I don't know how many games. Let me see. I'm going to cheat here and just look at the games that, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 of the 28. So about half of the games would I still be interested in keeping, even though I don't have a working PSP. So, you know, that's by far the worst, like, you know, ratio there, where it's only a 50%er. And, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. There are certain games out there on certain consoles that I own that are beyond shitty that I should never have bought, but I was like, oh, this sounds like fun.
Well, I think we've all been there with the video games where it's like, why did I buy this? I think that's different. I think that's normal. Like, everyone's done that in their life. Well, there's no way around that.
The other thing that I'm I never had a sports game on the PSP, but I'm also discounting the sheer number of sports games on all these other consoles, because there's no way in hell I would want to keep NCAA football 08, 09, 10, 12, 13 for the PlayStation 3. Or let's see here. Where's that? Where the hell is that other one where it's got all the damn sports games? Where'd it go? Let's see here. Now I can't find I already said NCAA football. Maybe it was NBA? Whatever. Anyways, I got a shit ton of sports games that I could care freaking less about in this day and age.
But they had all those updates always, so you never had to like buy the next year's game because they just kept the roster updated year
what
to year, right?
What fucking world do you live in?
I like my imaginary world, thank you
very
much.
Yeah, I could tell. I could tell. No, it was very educational for me to look through the games that I have. Now, like I said, I know I'm missing some games, but like for instance, the 3DS, the 8 games I did find, I'd keep all but 3 of them. I mean, yeah, I'd only give away 3 out of the 8. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and to be honest with you, I could when I was writing this list down, I could tell immediately if I bought the game just for because I thought it was cool and I never played it or not. Because there is a ton of games on this list. I'm like, huh, okay. I own it. I don't know why, but I own it.
I'm sure there's a good reason.
Like, I own on the original PlayStation a breakout game, which is basically like a 3D camera locked in, like three-quarter view, like breakout game. And I'm just like, you know.
Breakout games.
Yep. But NHL 2001 or NFL Game Day 99 or NBA Live 97.
So what you're saying is you don't think you got a lot of gameplay out of those?
Oh, I got the sports games. I played a shit ton back in 99 and 2001. But there's also
back in the day,
like Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius for the PlayStation 2. I could tell you there's only one reason why I picked that up, and that was because I was trying to get a job with, I think, one of the developers for that game.
And did it work?
No. I'm not working for any game companies right now, so no.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Yes. Yeah. My brain not working anymore. It's been a long week.
Yeah. Well, we're on spring break next week, and then we're waiting to see if our school is canceled with the rest of Georgia.
No, we're done for the rest of the, I mean, it's virtual classes through the end of the school year.
Well, I mean, that's my assumption that we're doing the same thing. I think they're just waiting to talk to the board of school people who do the, you know,
right,
the final decision.
You're a private school.
Yeah, so the board has to come out with that final decision, but I can't imagine that the school, any school in Georgia, I just can't imagine at this point that they would keep it open with everything that's happening.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a crazy time, yo. So what do you think of working from home permanently now?
Like I said, it's been an eye-opening experience because I basically live in this office consistently all the time now. I've definitely had to rearrange stuff and clean stuff up and, you know, declutter, because you can get away with a certain amount of, like, you know, chaos in rooms that, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays, I spend a pretty good amount of time in my office. But other than that, you know, I don't get that overload now. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I hear that.
But at the same time, because I'm constantly here, it has given me an opportunity to kind of, like, of course, take inventory not only of my video games and of my Funko Pops and my Blu-rays and my DVDs, but also the equipment for Alter Confusion when it comes to, like, conventions.
Ah.
And I am fully aware that I basically bought, like, some stuff that I thought was really cool for Alter Confusion, because I wanted to, you know, be awesome. And it turns out that I was either using them completely wrong, or because they were so cheap, they don't actually, or even, not even close to what I wanted to them to be. And that the lapel mics are the ones that are way too cheap, and I wish that I had the, I wish I was able to go back in time and get, like, a better lapel mic. But the killer, or the kicker, was the preamp for when we do our interviews at the convention.
Yeah.
I didn't do that at all right, which always bugged me, because I would see the levels and they look great, and then I would export the video off of the camcorder, which of course is proprietary format, which is bullshit. But anyways, I would do that, and I would start with my my editing software and find out that the volume was basically next to nothing. And that's because I did not God, this is embarrassing. On the back of a preamp, there is a headphone jack, so you can listen to levels, and then there's the dual jack, which is where your sound goes from, and then you're supposed to plug that into your camera. Well, I was basically going from headphone jack to mic jack in the camcorder, which is why I was basically losing everything in the transition, because it's not the right thing. So I put it on my wish list. I've also found out that this setup for the microphone does not work. I've jimmy-rigged something in front of me so that I can have the mic here, but I don't have, like, a big stand, so literally most of my gaming is like this as I'm leaning off the side of the screen and trying to play over here. So the one thing I have spent a little bit of money on is I'm getting one of those microphone arms. So I should actually have the mic here and not have to worry about accidentally knocking it around or anything like that.
Nice.
I've also looked for a new battery for the camcorder. Instead of trying to find a new camcorder, I'm just going to go with a new battery because the camcorder still works. And of course, I found out about why I have shitty quality sometimes when I'm doing like broadcast through the webcam. That's because zooming in degrades the quality of your video.
Don't degrade the quality, sir.
Exactly. And so I'm not zoomed in at all right now, and I look very, very handsome, if I say so myself.
You look fantastic, if I may say so myself.
Well, thank you. But the thing is, the upside is that I'm getting to like truly during my breaks reevaluate or get to actually evaluate for the first time all the stuff that I have.
Nice.
And you know, of course, take stock of everything else. But yeah. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we've basically run out of time. I know Zelius, even though Zelius is at home, huh?
Where does the time go, man?
Into the depths of the interweb zeros and ones.
Okay, that's a good place.
That being said, ladies and gentlemen, remember that every Sunday and Tuesday, and I very, very much apologize that I wasn't streaming this past Sunday. I was violently ill over the weekend. It's not corona. It was nothing like that. Turns out that I can't drink certain types of red wine anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. Fun fact.
That's a bummer of a way to.
Yeah. Oh, believe me. Praying to the porcelain god is never fun. Anyways, so that's why I didn't stream on Sunday. Of course, I streamed on Tuesday, and I will try to stream on. I will attempt to stream Sundays and Tuesdays going forward, and I'll probably, since I'm home, I'll try to throw in some random streams. I feel like I should play Islanders tomorrow just so people get a feel for it. And also, the beautiful thing about Islanders is literally you could just have the stream up and just listen to the music, and it's very calming. So, but that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Ultra Confusion Thursday Night Hangout. For myself, Charlie, and Zelius, it's been a pleasure giving everything on our heads, our mouth, and of course, our hearts. We'll be back next Thursday for another amazing Thursday Night Hangout.
Remember, kids, keep on gaming in the free world.
Amen to that, brother.